Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Welcome to the show. The first show of 2020, January the 5th, 2020. We hope this will be the first of some great shows through this year. We already have them planned out through February, and folks, you're in for some real treats on some shows we're going to give to you in the next couple of months and beyond. Well, I wanted to do something special here with this show because I'm so grateful for our friendship through the years. A lot of people don't realize that when I had the opportunity to try out for this particular gig, this weekend show, WBT brought me in on a Saturday afternoon. And for 2 hours, I had to fill what they call graveyard time in radio. And I brought in a raft of material, made sure I had enough material to cover the 2 hours, actually even fielded a few calls, which WBT found very impressive that anybody would call in on a Saturday afternoon. So I got the gig, but my most fond memory of that time is the board op at that time was a guy by the name of Bo Thompson, who has since become the morning news voice of WBT Radio, has been a friend for these past 20 years. It's hard to believe this show has been going on for 20 years. And Bo has often come in on the first Sunday of the year with me to do a show that looks back at the major news stories of 2019. And then he puts on his Swami cap and tries to predict what's going to happen in 2020. We're going to do that show today. Bo Thompson, thanks for being with me.
Always look forward to sitting down with you, David. It's one of the highlights. It's the highlight of my year so far.
5 days into it. Yeah. That's not saying a whole lot. Do you remember that afternoon that I came in with that raft of material and you were the board op way back when?
I remember very well. And I remember going to the program director after the show was over saying, I think this guy might have a future in talk radio. What I didn't realize is this would be nowhere near your regular job at that point. You were doing something else where you talked a lot. And then I remember thinking, oh, now I know why the guy was so good, because he's done this talk in front of people thing a few times before.
Well, we had a good time getting to know each other then, and then later through some other places our lives intersected. But now especially it's fun to see where you have gone. Are you still enjoying this gig?
Oh, yeah. I mean, radio is in my blood, has always been in my blood. If you talk to my parents, when I was a kid, I used to sit up in my room in the wee hours of the morning playing radio, as I would call it. I mean, I used to have a tape player, and I used to practice and then pretend I was Casey Kasem. And in subsequent years, I'd pretend I was people I heard on this station. But it's been in my blood, as anybody, I think, will tell you is. It doesn't quite happen exactly the way you map it out in your brain, but the end point is the important thing, right? And so I'm doing something now that I always wanted to do, and I'm going in my eighth year now. So
eight years
must mean I'm doing something okay by the if you ask the powers that be around here.
Well, John Hancock retired as Charlotte's most beloved. Maybe now it's Bo Thompson.
Oh, I don't know.
Charlotte's
I don't know about
most beloved.
I'm just thankful to work here. The beloved thing is something you earn over a long period of time. And I will say the fact that two Johns, Hancock back in October and Stokes at the end of December, those are two guys. I said it on the day that that Stokes left. I said, I've been lucky to work during the John era. And whether that be Hancock, whether that be Stokes, those are two people that I'm lucky during the years I've been here to work with all those years. And I will always be lucky and appreciative of that.
Two great voices, two better human beings, just wonderful folks. And you're now helping Pat McCrory host his show from 8 to 10 every day, Monday through Friday. Have you been surprised at its success? For it surely has captured the heart of a lot of listeners.
Well, when we started it, I didn't know how long he wanted to do it. I didn't know how long it was going to go. It was an experimental thing out of the gates. I think both he and I thought about that. He was still trying to figure out what life was going to be like after being in office. And so the early days of that show, I think we were trying to figure out what it was. And now going into the second year, or we've been together over 2 years now. And so it has been something I've really enjoyed. I grew up in Charlotte, so I'm a lifelong Charlottean. He's been in Charlotte for years. All these stories that he tells are stories that I remember experiencing. So that's my favorite part of the show. I mean, Pat is, everybody knows Pat. I mean, his name recognition in North Carolina is through the roof. We knew that starting out. Pat has all kinds of stories. My challenge was going to be at the beginning is, can I get those stories effectively out of him? And can I teach him a few rules of the radio trade along the way? And I think the fact that we're still together here in 2020 means that, yes, we've been successful on that front. And every day I learn something. And so, yes, I'm having fun. Some days are like a roller coaster, but that's radio, right?
Well, one of the few people I know who can help filter Pat's unfilteredness. He's a unique personality, as we all know, but you got to love him. He has come back from a real devastating loss and has moved toward rebuilding his life and his brand, and that's been exciting to see.
And there's a lot down the road for him. I don't think he's done with politics. Yeah. I mean, anybody who listens to the show knows that. But I think, David, the base thing I would say about the show is, and this is where I think I've hopefully helped make it successful, I think when he started out, this was going to be a thing he tried for a few months, and now he would tell you, this radio thing, I kind of like this thing.
And he's good at it.
He is very good at it. And so I have to be, I'm the lifelong guy who's got to get the stories out of him.
Bo Thompson's my guest. Well, when we come back, Bo, look back at 2019 with me, and let's pick out the top stories and talk about them together. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. We are ready. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. By the way, many thanks to my sponsors, Ruth Chris Steakhouse and Perry's Fine Jewelry, for their sponsorship of the show. Without you, I could not do this on a weekly basis. Now, over 20 years. Bo, can you believe that? Bo Thompson's my guest. 20 years I've been doing this.
I remember, because I remember your first day, as we were talking about in the last segment.
Yeah, well, catch me up with your family real quick.
I have two kids. I'm married, my wife and two kids. They are both teenagers now.
Wow.
Which
seems impossible.
It does. But every step of the way has its own moments. But I love the ages my kids are right now. We can go around and do whatever activities. They both play sports, which I know you had your kids did the same, and I love that. So anytime I'm not behind a microphone, I'm with them.
It is fun. You know, it's a great ride, and you can't have it for many more years, so enjoy every second of it, Bo. And just so people don't who may not know this, what time do you get up every morning?
3 a.m.
I'm not sure I believe in God before 7 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I tell you, some days, especially like last week after a vacation, after I've been working normal hours for a few weeks, and then you come back to that 3 a.m. But well, it kind of have to be that way. I learned early in the process of doing mornings that you can't prepare the show at night, then go to bed and get up and just start, because things happen overnight, right?
News happens, and it sometimes happens right before you go on the air as well.
Exactly.
So, well, we're so appreciative of you. You do a great job here, and I look forward to this show annually. When you come in the studio and we have a chance to look back and look forward, this is going to be a very interesting year, 2020, and we'll look forward during the next segment, so folks hang on. But during this segment, let's look back at 2019, a really, really interesting year, probably has reflected more of the divisiveness in our nation than I've ever seen before. As you look back over this past year, what is probably your major news story that you remember during this past year?
Well, you just mentioned the divisiveness, and I think from a national perspective, you have to come back to Washington, right? You have to come back to the continual battle between the right and the left over President Trump. The unconventional presidency that it's been, no matter which side of the aisle you're on. It's interesting. Everything seemed to be building towards the Mueller report last summer, and then that came and that went, and then a phone call a few days after the Mueller report was released ends up being the basis for this impeachment battle. And so the president is impeached as we sit here and talk right now. There are questions about how this is going to go in the Senate. Nancy Pelosi still has yet to deliver it to the Senate. And so I think you can't look back at this most recent year, 2019, and not from a national political perspective and not start and finish with Trump.
Do you think the divisiveness is because of Trump, or do you think Trump simply revealed a divisiveness that already existed in our nation?
I think the latter of what you said. I think Trump pushes buttons, and Trump has made a career and a life out of pushing buttons of his adversaries, whatever part of life they may be in. Trump is not afraid to tell you where he stands, and he's not afraid to take someone on face-to-face, and he's not diplomatic in many cases. He's abrasive.
Unfiltered.
I mean, Twitter, the way he uses Twitter now and social media. So whatever side of the aisle you're on, if you're a Trump supporter, then he draws the battle lines very, very clearly. There's no gray area with which side you're on with Trump. And if you're on the other side, then it's an opponent that you've never quite seen the likes of before. I mean, he's a message above everything, and sometimes the way it's delivered, I think, is part of the problem with people who have issue with him.
Mm. Why is it that he remains so popular among many in our nation?
I think it's because he says what a lot of people are afraid to say. Now, that doesn't mean that I sit here and endorse everything that he says or the way that he says it, but I will say this from where I sit. I'm a political science major. I was that when I was in college. I wrote my thesis on the debates of 1996. I always told people the political theory part of politics I get bored with. I love to watch the race and the battle. And President Trump has been in office the entire time, or I should say I've been on the air for the entire amount of time President Trump's been on the air. I also overlapped with the end of the Obama era. But I've seen, while I'm doing the show I'm doing right now, the entire Trump presidency up until now. I don't feel, David, like he's ever stopped running for office. I've always loved covering the election part of the political process. And from a guy who covers that day to day, I've enjoyed covering the Trump presidency because I feel like he never got off the campaign trail. Every other night, it seems like, or at least two or three times a month, even well into his first term, he's campaigning. And so from a coverage standpoint, I've enjoyed the continual fight, but he's the only politician that I can think of that's ever conducted his presidency as if he was still on the campaign trail running for the next one. But that's what he's been doing.
Well, you wonder how much of that could be the feeling, at least among some, that impeachment began the moment he was inaugurated, or maybe even the day he won the election. There was some theory that people began to study a way to impeach him the moment he was elected. Do you buy into that?
I certainly understand the argument that's made by some of those on the right about how he has been targeted. You hear that said maybe a slightly different way, that ever since he was elected, people have been trying to undo what happened in the last election. The interesting thing, and I know we're going to talk about predictions coming up in a later segment, but I do want to say this. I believe Trump could end up being removed from office and then turn right around and run again.
Wow.
The rules are in place that he could do that. And whether or not you believe that it will happen, here's what I know. There's no other president that we've ever seen that would do that but Trump.
There's no one like him.
Yeah.
And he does run against the grain of political correctness, where I think you're right. A lot of people are just fed up with trying to be politically correct and not say something that isn't offensive to somebody, and they're letting him say it for them.
And I should say, let me clarify that. I don't mean that no one else would ever do it, but I my point is, if there ever was a candidate that we can all say he'd be the guy that would try
I think you're right.
It would be Trump.
Impeached and then run again. Well, in the next segment, we're going to talk about what we think might come up. Well, let's shift gears a little bit, because that is the subject that's dominated 2019. I mean, almost every day has been either the Mueller report or now the impeachment process. What are some other major stories that you remember well from this past year?
Well, I mean, if you look back at Charlotte and go a little bit more local or statewide, I think there are I mean, there are so many, but there are two that immediately come to mind. The first one is one that I was immersed in from a coverage standpoint for more than a year, and that was the District 9 election that ultimately elected Dan Bishop. But, you know, we had an eight-way primary, had an opportunity last spring to do something I'd never done before. I told you I wrote a thesis on the 96 presidential debates. I actually got to moderate a debate for the first time this past spring of last year, and that was with the eight Republican candidates that were vying for this spot to run against Dan McCready. But if you remember, a year ago right now, that whole election was up in the air. We still had the trial, or the hearing, I should say, with the combatants the first time around. And that whole Mark Harris saga was just an unbelievable thing to watch and
really
track.
Sad in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
Tragic.
And then we went through the round of primaries, and then we went through the actual general election. And I remember talking to Dan Bishop on the air the day after he got elected, and I said, hey, I know this has been quite the trek, but don't look now. You got to turn around in less than a month or so, and you got to run again. And so that race, watching it go from where it was a year ago to where we are now, is one. I think the UNCC shooting back in the late spring is one that still seems like it was yesterday, unfortunately, and it highlights another thing. It highlights the number of homicides that we saw last year. So I guess I could sort of pair those two stories together. There's the UNCC shooting. There were 108 shootings altogether last year.
And the uptick in the homicides in our city.
Correct. And I think, unfortunately, when you look back at 2019, those are stories that come into the forefront. The UNCC story put Charlotte on a national stage that no one wanted. Unfortunately, though, it reinforced the idea that that can happen anywhere at any time. Unfortunately, it was in our own backyard this mm-hmm. time, and the heroes that were involved, and of course, is the lives that were lost.
Yeah, and it'd be hard to look back at 2019 sports wise and see the hopes for the Panthers then quickly diminish again, almost a scenario repeating itself from the year before, and the firing of Ron Rivera, a very beloved coach in this city and now the head coach of the Washington Redskins.
Boy, seeing that headline, my first day back on the air this past week, seeing that headline, Ron Rivera will be welcomed as the Washington Redskins coach. How would we have reacted to that headline had it been proposed to us back in August or September even? It's an odd thing because I've never seen anyone, sports figure, political figure, just collectively saluted on their last day, and no one has a bad thing to say about Ron Rivera, except for the fact that the wins and losses didn't match up the way you wanted to the last few years, but seeing him introduced as a Redskin is an odd thing to kind of process.
Well, you know, he sat in your seat and did an interview with me this past year, and the one thing that struck me was he was a man of great faith. So you've got to believe that he says, okay, this happened, and it happens to all of us, but we all have setbacks in our lives, but then he believes that there's still something ahead of him, and he becomes the head coach of the Redskins. Isn't that magnificent in so many ways?
Well, there's that old adage that, what would it be like? How many people will be at your funeral, right? How many people will you have a full building of people that come to pay respects to you? And I think it's an odd thing with an NFL coach or any kind of coach where you get fired. And yes, that was a low time for Ron Rivera, but it also had to be a rather affirming time for him to look around and see what the reaction has been.
Bo Thompson's my guest. Hey, Bo, when we come back, Swami hat, what's going to happen in 2020? Tell us your predictions. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to hear this interview with Bo Thompson, the chance for him to give his views rather than to just give the news, please go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, The David Chadwick Show, and you can hear the podcast from beginning to end. Fascinating show with my friend Bo Thompson. Thanks again for being with me. And here we move into 2020. Today is the first Sunday of this new year. Who knows what this new year is going to bring, but I think we have some clues on some things we can anticipate as huge news stories. Bo, what do you think is going to be number one?
Well, I think number one has to be what happens between now and the Iowa caucuses, this idea of an impeachment trial in the Senate. When will it happen? How long will it be? What will the outcome be? And that final question, what will the outcome be, has a lot, the idea of how it's all going to be put together, the rules and witnesses and all these logistics.
The impeachment process.
Yes, the impeachment process. How that's going to end, you answer that question better when you know exactly how it's going to be carried out. And we don't really know that yet. But I think looking towards that impeachment trial that would go to the Senate, I don't think that President Trump will be removed from office. Although, here's what I will say about that. If he is, or if he isn't, I think either way, he will be the candidate.
You do think that.
Even
if he's impeached, he will run as the Republican nominee.
Well, I mean, he's been impeached, but the question is will he be simply reprimanded or will he be removed from office? Clinton obviously wasn't running for a second term when his impeachment trial came around, and he was acquitted. But in the case of President Trump, I honestly, David, don't think it matters either way. He's going to run either way, and here's the other part of that. I think he will be reelected.
You do think so?
I do.
There is your prognostication. You have said you think Trump will be the winner next November 2020.
I think the bigger question is, who's he going to run against? And that one,
does it matter?
I put it this way. I don't think it matters if he's running against the crowd that's running right now. I think the big question is, will someone else emerge? Will Hillary Clinton emerge? Will you get someone like Oprah or some celebrity status person? I still think Trump...
Michelle Obama?
Well, I mean, that's a name that's been mentioned, too. And I do still believe that unless it's against someone that we haven't named yet, that's a true out-of-the-blue wild card game changer, I think Trump wins again.
Do they have enough time, the Democrats, to put in a game-changer candidate? I mean, don't they have to sign up for the different elections in Iowa, New Hampshire, etc.?
You have to get on the ballot in a certain number of states. But remember, back in the 90s, two different times, Ross Perot was in the mix. And if you remember, one of those times he got out and then got back in really late. And I don't remember how much that had to do with how many ballots he was already on from the groundwork that he had laid. But to your point, I think if anyone's going to run that we don't know about, it's got to happen pretty soon. But here's another prediction for you. And I'm not so... I don't know that I'm hitching my wagon to this necessarily, like I would say I think Trump is going to win. I think there's a good possibility that the Democratic convention could end up being close to brokered, because I still think it's so fractured right now, and you still look at the front runners, and there's not a front runner that I believe. It's still plural right now, and we're less than a month away from the Iowa caucuses, and we're also going to see an impeachment trial between now and then.
And so by brokered, you mean they'll have a candidate decided before
at the convention.
At the convention
at
itself.
At the convention,
okay.
Yes. Now, I'm not saying, I'm not totally hitched to that wagon yet, but I can certainly see a scenario where it could happen, or this would be the year where it would be ripe to happen.
So maybe they look at all the candidates who are there, and they go, none of them can beat Trump. And we've got to find somebody who can beat him, and then anchor somebody in there that may be unexpected.
Or within that mix, you have these candidates that are all running right now, and none of them go into the convention with the clear majority, so that you have to have what they call a brokered convention where you would decide who the ultimate winner is. That the scenario you brought up is one that I would consider, too. Put it this way. I think the Democratic National Convention is going to be rather chaotic.
That will be interesting.
Yes.
A great storyline to follow in 2020. Bo Thompson, do you believe that the impeachment process has helped President Trump in the national election in 2020?
I think it will prove to help him, yes. And here's why. That's not me saying it's a good or bad thing. I'm saying strictly from a political view of will this rally his base? I think yes. I think anytime you talk about what he spent his first term rallying against, which is impeachment, the witch hunt that he talks about, and all of his adversaries. It's like I said earlier, David, it's with President Trump, it's it's either us or them, right? I mean, you know which side you're on if you're a supporter. There's not much of a gray area in between. So I think anything that galvanizes support behind him, whatever it is, or against I think that that's going to help him.
I've wondered if there aren't a good number of people in our land who really didn't buy the witch hunt and all of that until all of this happened. And they're looking at the Mueller report, then that didn't work. They're looking at impeachment, that didn't work. And really, when they get in the voting booth, they're going to say, you know what, it did look like a witch hunt. And they're going to pull the lever for him. I think that could happen.
Well, I saw a tweet rolling around the last few days, and it said, the Democrats thought they had won the race back in 2016, and then all of the Trump supporters got off work and went to the polls.
There's some truth to that.
I think there's a lot of I definitely think it's going to be interesting, but I think anything that rallies Trump's base is a good thing for him.
Swami hat, will Hillary dare put her hat back in the ring again?
I think she'll tiptoe as close as you can get to the edge and then say no.
I think a lot of people will say to her, please don't, because she probably is the one candidate that for sure he could beat. He did so beforehand, and I don't think she's any more beloved now than she was 4 years ago. Your prediction, Swami hat, for the RNC here in Charlotte. Will there be violence? Will there be protests? Will this be a hard time for Charlotte? Or do you think we'll be foresightful enough to do what's necessary to plan accordingly?
I think the latter of what you said. In 2016, I went to Cleveland to cover that convention, and I remember the talk at the time was, you're going to need your hard hat to walk to and from the arena. There are going to be protests everywhere. And I was a bit worried going to that as a media member. Is my safety going to be compromised here? In the end, the perimeter around the Quicken Loans Arena back in 2016 was so large that protesters couldn't get anywhere near the front steps of the arena, as bad as they may have wanted to be there. I think in Charlotte it's going to be the same thing. The perimeter's bigger in Charlotte than it was 4 years ago, and especially than it was for the DNC. I think the fact that Kerr Putney is going to be in charge for the duration gives me peace of mind that this city is going to protect everyone the way a city should with a convention like this. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think there will be protests, but I don't think, to me, the protests are going to be talked about a lot leading up to the actual event, and then after that, it'll be a non-story. And I'll also say that I think the riots that the CMPD dealt with back in 2016 will prepare them for what they're going to see, if anything, this time around. So if you put all that together, it's not that I think that it's not going to be contentious or potentially dangerous, but I think Charlotte's ready.
Okay, I'm going to take you to the international stage now. Do you think there will be a continual movement toward populism, particularly in Europe and other places in the world, like we've seen here with Trump? Might that continue, even be enlarged in 2020?
I think anybody on the outside looking in, meaning not the United States, has to look at what President Trump has been able to accomplish here and not take some sort of playbook page from it. And I think different parts of the world are obviously, I mean, some are more comparable to what the U.S. has and some aren't. So I think it's a complicated question, but I think there already are leaders out there that have watched what Trump's been able to do and are taking a page from it. So I think yes.
And Boris Johnson in Great Britain has proven that you can be, again, a bit of a populist radical and appeal to the people who look around and see their very lives changing so rapidly. You know, one of my jokes is the only people who really like change are babies with wet diapers. People don't like change, and they see change happening so rapidly around them, they're clinging to trying to keep that from happening.
Well, and to your question, it doesn't always have to be a leader that falls exactly in line ideologically with President Trump, but I think the idea of being a bit of I don't want to sound like Sarah Palin, but the idea of going rogue a bit and doing it your own way and not playing by the same rules that have always been in place, whether or not you completely agree politically with everything Trump says, I think his style, the fact that he is unfiltered, that he goes straight to the public with his social media feeds, I think that idea is the part from which I think some of leaders from other countries may look at what he's done and try to replicate a bit.
Well, I've wondered, too, if the press doesn't lean left. I mean, we know most of all the statistics share that folks who are in the press 90% are Democrats. And I think that's one of the appeals of your show, Bo, and with Pat, you offer that other perspective. And it's going to be really interesting to see if the press maybe moderates some just because of the populist mentality that exists in America today. We have one more segment. Let's conclude the show by looking forward to some more predictions that you may have as we move toward 2020. Folks, can you believe it? I'm David Chadwick, and we will be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Bo Thompson's my guest. If you'd like to hear this program in its entirety, go to WBT.com, The David Chadwick Show, and you can hear this podcast, a fascinating look at Bo's heart for this nation, this city, and what he thinks is going to happen in 2020. Bo, real quickly, you have now started your own podcast. Let's give that a plug.
Well, I started what's called my WBT Century podcast last year. I say last year now. It seems like it's just a few months ago, but technically it was last year. And it's a profile series on legends of this radio station and of this city. And that's one way I'm going to branch out in 2020 and talk to some newsmakers, not necessarily directly connected to the station, but I started as a ramp up to our 100th anniversary, which is going to happen in 2022. We've started ramping up the preparations for that, and one of the ways I'm contributing is doing a periodic podcast where I sit down and have a long-form conversation with an icon of the radio station. We started with Ty Boyd. I talked to H.A. Thompson. I talked to Don Russell and James K. Flynn about the anniversary of Hurricane Hugo, 30-year anniversary. I sat down with Al Gardner. And most recently, John Hancock. And it really is kind of a labor of love on my part because I'm the de facto historian around here now. And I've always loved the station's history. And the idea, they said, you need to come up with your own long-form podcast. And I landed on this, and it's been something I really have enjoy digging into, and we'll do more of this coming year. Maybe I'll sit down with you.
I'd love to. That'd be fun to do. 20 years now on the show, and it's been a fun run for me. And if people want to find it, they go to WBT.com.
iTunes, Google Play, anywhere you get your podcasts, and that's, of course, at radio.com and WBT.com. But anywhere you find them now, you'll be able to find this one.
Well, it's really a joy having you on this show, Bo, and this is our final segment. Believe it or not, it goes by so fast. But returning to looking forward to 2020 and your predictions, will this economy continue to roar like it is right now? I mean, it's almost unprecedented in what it's accomplished these last 4 years.
There are people out there who would tell you that everything that's gone on in the Trump presidency would indicate a reason for the economy not to be doing what it's doing, and yet it has flourished during the Trump administration. If Trump gets reelected, I see no reason to believe that this economy is going to stop chugging. But if something happens with impeachment, like I said, I still think he runs. I still think he wins. But if something changes with the Trump presidency and you have a change of power, maybe that causes the economy to have a hiccup. I think it's hard to say stridently in an election year like this that absolutely it's going to continue. But if I had to be a betting guy right now, I would say that, yeah, the streak continues.
You alluded earlier to the fact in 96 you were at Davidson College and you wrote a thesis paper on the presidential debates. You and I both remember that President Bush back in 92, whenever that was, said no new taxes, read my lips. And, of course, the taxes happened. And then James Carville said to Clinton, just say over and over again, it's the economy, stupid. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think he won in 92 and 96 because of that mantra. Many folks think that that's going to be the same case with Trump, even though, like Clinton, a lot of people knew he was a reprobate, he was an adulterer, he was a womanizer. Same thing with Trump in a lot of other ways. But people say, I don't care, the economy's great.
Well, and I think there are a lot more people out there than many in the media would like you to believe that simply, when it comes down to it, despite all the riffraff and discussion, that really it comes down to two things. It comes down to their pocketbook, and it comes down to Supreme Court justices. And if you look at Trump's track record there, and if you look at where it would go if he stays in office, I think that's reason just on the face of things to say that there's a good chance that things can continue.
And I'd add one more thing there, and it's not often talked about, is the federal judiciary. Not only has he appointed two Supreme Court justices, could very well with Ruth Bader Ginsburg if he wins another election, maybe even another one yet still, which would be unprecedented, unbelievable, but he has appointed over 100 federal judiciary judges to the bench, and they're going to probably make the face of America in the next decade or two decades more than anything else Trump has done.
Well, and I think there are a lot of people out there who would say, I may not agree with how he does things or how he says things all the time. He may not be my favorite president ever, but if he guarantees me that those types of changes will continue in the ideological direction that they've been the last 4 years, I think that's enough for many Republicans out there to pull the lever. And I do think that in the end, that's going to rule the day.
Some conversation going on that this might be the last election, though, where Republicans will have some kind of majority among the voters, that the younger people are coming along. They want more socialism. They're not as to the right. They're not marrying and having kids, which always makes you more conservative. Everybody knows that. And we could very well see a movement to the left. I'm not sure that's going to happen. What do you think?
Well, it certainly has happened locally here. I mean, the left turn in Charlotte and in Mecklenburg County, if that ends up being seen on a national level, I mean, I'd be stupid to sit here and say, no, David, I don't think that's a possibility, because if you look at what's happening at a local level, and some will tell you everything with politics starts at the local level, then you have to bat an eye as to what's going on here. And so certainly things could change, and I certainly see changing dynamics with the younger generation. But until you see it happen on a national level, it's one of those I'll believe it when I see it, and maybe it will be something that I will see.
Yeah, if we have only a unicameral system in our nation, either locally or globally, we are in a really sad state. But hopefully that bicameral system can continue. And here in Charlotte especially, we can see a resurgence of two parties that will balance each other off, I think, a bit better. Okay, we only have about a minute and a half left, and I want you to comment on this show, because you know I'm the hope guy here at the station. I'm going to make you the hope guy. Do you have hope for our nation? Do you have hope for our city? Bo Thompson.
Yes and yes, but I think that we all need to take a breath sometimes. I think people can get so riled up on their sides of the battlefield that sometimes you don't take a minute, take a breath, and realize what's really important in life. And I'm not saying that I have that all figured out. I'm just as guilty as other people sometimes for not really sitting back and being thankful for all that you have and realizing how good things are. I think it's really easy to get riled up, but then pull back and look at the big picture. Charlotte is a great place to live. I wouldn't be anywhere else. I think we're going to do huge things with the RNC coming up in the next year, with Democrats and Republicans joining forces to make that happen, just as Republicans did back in 2012. And there's no other place I'd rather be than this city right now. But it's certainly going to be an interesting year.
Could we stop for even 1 second, folks, and say, you know what, I may not agree with you, but you're a person created in the image of God, and you're valuable. You have unique, priceless qualities. I'm therefore going to do everything I can to protect your right to live, and then we'll work out our other differences as we live in this same community, nation together, breathe the same air, eat at the same restaurants, enjoy the same city.
I've lived here all my life, David. You said, is there hope? And I'll simply say, I sure hope so.
Well, you know, we end every Thursday segment when I come in for 10 minutes with you and Pat on some subject. And I always try to end it by saying, hey, if the sun comes up in the morning, there's always hope. Guess what happened this morning? All mornings, the sun came up.
And what color was the sky, David?
Carolina blue. Although I'm not sure this basketball season has that kind of hope for the Heels.
You said it, not me.
Thanks, Bo.
Thanks, David.
Hey, everyone. Love God and love your neighbor. If you just do those two things, you have a lifetime's worth of work to do. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Talk with you all next week.